You take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. You know what I forgot to do this morning? I forgot to turn the ringer off on my phone. So I'm going to do that right now. All right. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 22 through 24 in just a moment. It's also going to be up here on the screen, but... This is the verse that I put in the bulletin this morning, Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Okay? And what does that mean? That means do it with all your power. Put your best into it. Don't be satisfied with just getting by. Do it the best that you can. That goes along with the song sang just a moment ago. Colossians 3, 22 through 24 sort of deal with a similar message here. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your word. We pray as it goes forth that you would use it mightily in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would guide in the message, and I pray, Lord, that if there be one that's not trusted Christ as Savior, that today would be their day of salvation. Lord, thank you for the privilege of preaching. Thank you for the privilege of worshiping you here together. And we pray, Lord, that we would have soft hearts and that you would do a mighty work in us this day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now, back to our passage here this morning, Colossians 3:22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. The word translated servants is doulos. It can be translated fairly broadly from slave to servant to hired servant, which would be more like our employee of today. Paul is telling those who serve others not only to think about pleasing the person that is their earthly master or boss, but more importantly, to do it to please who? To please their Father in heaven. He says, therefore, do it with singleness of heart, fearing God, and do it heartily. Do it heartily. Now, that kind of dovetails with the idea of do it with thy might. You know, do it from your heart. Don't just go through the what? Don't just go through the motions. Don't just do it just to get a paycheck. Don't just do it to get a pat on the back from your boss. Do it from your heart. Do your best. Do your best. In doing so, do it to the glory of God and bring glory to God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do it for His glory. Do it to bring glory to Him. Amen. He deserves it. We live in a world today of convenience. Everything is at our what? At our fingertips. Little responsibility or accountability required. Just don't see people pushed. young people today in particular, to be responsible and accountable for the decisions they make in life. We see a lot of excuses and not a lot of responsibility, not a lot of great expectation of others. We see in the workplace little work required or expected. In many jobs, if you just bother to show up on time, you do better than half the other people that work there. Satisfactory is good enough. That is sort of the mantra of ours. Satisfactory is good enough. Just do satisfactory work. Grab your paycheck. I don't believe that's what God wants from His children. I don't think God wants us to go through life just being satisfactory, doing things half-heartedly. I mean, well, this verse here says it. Do it what? Half-heartedly? No. The idea here is wholeheartedly. There's a lot of people today that just aren't growing up, aren't becoming committed, faithful, responsible people. No loyalties. People jump from job to job and church to church and sometimes relationship to relationship with absolutely no loyalty or no allegiance. We live in a disposable world. You buy something in about 3 months, you just what? You throw it out. Sometimes we treat our responsibilities and sometimes even others with the same kind of mentality. Everything's disposable. It meets my needs for today. We won't worry about what? We won't worry about tomorrow. It's good enough. I'll get around to it someday. I spoke with somebody about 3 or 4 weeks ago. They said they would show up to church. And to my astonishment, they showed up to church. Now, that does happen from time to time. But you know what happens most of the time? People say, oh yeah, you'll see me at church. Or I'll get there someday. Well, for some people, I've been here 17 years and they've been telling that to me for 15 and I haven't seen them yet. Or it's been at least 5 or 6 years since I've seen them. And every time I see them, oh yeah, I'm going to get back out. You know. We see a lot of that, don't we? And not just with church, but just in general with life. This should not be the attitude and the behavior of the child of God. We need to do our best in whatever our hands find to do, particularly in our service to the Lord, particularly in our relationships to others, and on it goes in other areas of our life. Satisfactory is not enough. I remember when I was like in kindergarten or first grade, we didn't get A, B, C's, D's. We got, I think, O for outstanding. We got S for satisfactory. And we got something else for, I guess, a U. Was it for unsatisfactory? And when I got up into higher grades, then we went to the A, B, C, D, you know, thing. But some of you that are older may remember O and S and U. In like kindergarten. And I remember coming home and I had S's on my report card. And I thought that was okay. But my parents had a different opinion. You know, maybe one S was okay. But most of them were supposed to be O's and not S's because satisfactory wasn't good enough. Because they knew that I could do what? That I could do better. And so they expected better of me. You know, we may have other people fooled. But you don't have God fooled. God knows what you are capable of, especially by His grace and with His help. Amen. And He expects better of us than the rest of the world. He expects better of us than satisfactory. He expects us to give Him the best that we have. Anything else is unacceptable. Anything else is unacceptable to our Master. And it should be unacceptable to us. And yes, you do have a Master. You do have a Master. He is also your Creator. You wouldn't be here at all without Him. He is also your Redeemer and your Savior. You would have no hope of eternity, no relationship, if not for His grace and His mercy and His love. He is your Father as well. He loves you. He wants the best for you. But that also makes you His what? His child. And He has expectations of His children. And He is our friend. He is our friend. Who will never leave us, nor what? Nor forsake us. But He is our Master. And He is one who deserves for His servants to give Him their very what? To give Him their very best. For He gave His very best for us. Romans 12:1, Paul pleads with the Christians, mostly Christians. He's writing in Rome. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Why is it reasonable for me to take the days and hours and years and energy that of my life and turn it over and give it to be used in service of God? Why is that reasonable? Well, that is reasonable, first of all, because, again, as I mentioned, He created you. And therefore, as being your Creator, He has certain rights and expectations. But even more so, it says here, according to the mercies, by the mercies of God. What did God do? Well, the God who created you, after you rebelled against Him, sent His Son, His only Son, His righteous Son, His beloved Son, to die on the cross for your sins and mine. Because He's a God of love and mercy. And He gave all He had for you and for me. So it is reasonable for us to give Him satisfactory? No. It is reasonable for us to give Him our what? Our best this coming week, this coming year. Just a few areas in which you can do your best in 2023. We're going to cover two or three this morning, depending on how fast the time moves along. First is this. Does He have your best in your allegiance and affection? Does He have first place? Does He have your loyalty? Does He have your love? Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Why is He one Lord? Because He's the only Lord. Because there are no other gods beside Him. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. He is the Lord, the true and living God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy, what? Might. With all thy strength. Moses here is speaking to the children of Israel in God's behalf. And he tells them, you have one Lord. He is the Lord. He is the true Lord, and He deserves your love, and He deserves your allegiance, and He deserves your loyalty, and He deserves your affection. He deserves to be first over all other loves, all over all other allegiances in your life. Are you giving God your best in regards to your love and your allegiance? Is He the top priority? Is He the most precious thing, person in your life? That's what it means to love, agape love. It means that object of your love is the most precious thing that you are not willing to give up for other things. That's the kind of love that God has for you. He gave His only what? Son. Because He loved you so much. He made you first what? Priority. And Christ followed through and went to that cross out of allegiance to His Father and out of affection and love for you. He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nonetheless not my will, but thine be done. And He went to that cross, and He drank of that cup. He endured that suffering, and He did it out of love for us. He deserves our love and our loyalty and our allegiance. Moses went off the scene. He, at God's direction, appointed a successor. His name was Joshua. Joshua led Israel into the land of Canaan, and under Joshua they conquered and divided the land. At the end of the book of Joshua, Joshua now is giving a speech before he passes off the scene. Very similar to what Moses did at Mount Nebo before he was taken off the scene. And this is what Joshua had to say to the children of Israel. He says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, that would have been the Egyptian gods, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, the idols of Canaan. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I have a wooden plaque over top of cabinet in my house. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Is that not over your door, your mantle, in your house? Is it in your what? Is it in your heart today? Are you willing to give up other allegiances because your allegiance to God must come what? Must come first. Will you give Him your best? Or does He have to take third or fourth or fifth place in your life over other things? For example, who wins when you're tempted by friends to do something you know is wrong? Who wins? Does God win? Or do your friends win? Who wins when you're asked to tell someone about Jesus? Does your fear of man win out? Or does your fear of God win out? Does your love of self win out? Or does your love for others and their need to hear the gospel win out? Which is it? Who do you love more? Who wins when your feelings or your lusts conflict with God's will for your life? Does God automatically win? Or do you sit there and kind of, well, you know, if I do, you know, I have to watch still. I just don't feel like doing that. Or, you know, I really, you know, God, yeah, but. And we have that word, well, God's, but. When we're referring to God and what God wants, and we in the middle of the phrase put in the word but, we're in trouble. Because there should be no but. There should be just, this is what God wants, and so this is what I'm going to do. Why? Because He has what? First place. My allegiance to Him must come first. My love for Him must come first. We get ourselves in trouble. We fall into sin when we start to argue with ourselves and we don't simply choose to love the Lord our God with all our heart. Does God get first place? Does He get time with you each day? Or does He take a back seat? Do you serve Him when it's convenient? Or also when it's inconvenient? What is it in your life which Jesus must play second fiddle to? It might be a person. It might be an ambition. It might be a lust. What is it in your life that needs to change? What is it that God sometimes plays second fiddle to? Your lust, your friends, your career, your bank account, your entertainment, your hobbies. Be honest. We talked last week about taking inventory of ourselves. That's what I'm asking you to do this morning. Take inventory. Do you love God with all your might? Or is satisfactory, you know, good enough? Second of all, do you give God your best not only in your allegiance and love, but do you give God your best in your holiness? In your holiness. Your moral integrity and your behavior. Is it holy? Is it righteous? Does God have first place? Do you give Him your best in regards to that? I think sometimes we kind of begin to compromise a little bit because of the world in which we live is so inundated with things that are so contrary to the holiness of God that we think, well, I'll give just a what? Just a little bit. I'm still a lot different from the world. But that starts a dangerous slide in our lives. 1 Peter 1:14 through 16. As obedient children, if you know Christ, that's you. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. That's before you became a child, before you were born again. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That word conversation can also be translated conduct or behavior. In every aspect of your behavior and your conduct in your life, can it be described basically as what? As holy, as pleasing to God, particularly in a moral sense. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Are we doing our best? Or are we sort of compromising? Are we just letting some things kind of slide? Because, hey, we're doing good in this area. You know, I'm not a drunk. You know, I don't hurt people. I'm not in jail. You know, I don't cuss and swear. So, you know, this one other little area over here, God will overlook that. Because I don't do all these other things, you see? Is that true? Should that be our attitude? The answer is no. That should not be our attitude. Our attitude should be one described here. Every aspect of our life, more like who? more like Jesus Christ. That's the goal we should be shooting for and striving for. No, we don't always get there. We're still working on it. It is a work in progress. But that means you are not satisfied. Not satisfied with the compromise in your life, where you're not doing your best. I was reminded of that when I read that of the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes. You look in Galatians chapter 5, and I have several verses I want to read, so I don't have it up here on the screen. Look, if you would, in Galatians 5, beginning in verse 19. Actually, I'm going to read verse 16, and then we'll jump to 19. Verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Paul is drawing a contrast between the Spirit and the flesh, between the Spirit who is holy and the flesh that is corruptible and that desires the wrong things. If we're walking in the Spirit, walking with the Lord, putting Him what? First, giving Him our best spiritually, then we're not going to be stumbling about in the darkness of sin and prone to just succumbing to the lust of the flesh all the time. But if we're not walking in the Spirit, well, then the other's going to take place. So if you look down at verse 9, he says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest," they're revealed. Here's what they are: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Those are all sexual moral failings. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders. Those are all, you have the idolatry, of course, which is unfaithfulness to God, and then it's followed by several that are failings in relations to others. Murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, that wild parties and the like, revelings. "Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." The word "do" there can also be translated practice, that those are practicing, doing such things without unrepentantly, without remorse, do indicate that they're not following who? The Lord. Maybe don't even know the Lord in their life. These should not be manifest, practiced in the lives of God's children. What should be? Verse 12. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering," or patience, "gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit," if you know the Lord, "let us also" what? "Walk in the Spirit." Let our behavior match. Let our attitudes match. Let what's inside come what? Out. And let your life be filled with these fruits, the fruits of the Spirit, and not the works of the flesh. That is the holiness of God coming out and living out through our lives. Faithful in our marital relationships. Husbands, love your what? Your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Pure in our thoughts and actions. Job 31:1, Job said, "I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid?" Job says, "I have a wife. I have decided not to lust after others." righteous or honest in our dealings, not deceitful in our business dealings, in our car sales, in our interactions with others. Just be honest, be truthful. When you go to the store and you buy that item and you give them $20 and you go to leave the store and you look back and in your change there's a $50 bill. A lot of people would say, wow, cool, I got a $50 bill. What's the Christian thing to do? Take it back. And sadly, they will be shocked when you take it back, because most people don't. Be honest. Be righteous in your dealings. Don't try to cut corners. Don't try to cheat others. Sadly, there's a lot of that in the world in which we live. Shouldn't be the case. Proverbs 11:1 says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. Those that are just, God's going to take care of you. Don't cut corners. Sober in your lifestyle, not drunken or controlled by substances or addictions. Be sober. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with what? The Spirit. You see the contrast again between the flesh and the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And give God your best. Don't be satisfied. Well, I don't have these other problems, so I'll just let this one slide. No, don't do that. Give God your what? Give God your best. In all manner of conduct, live to the glory of who? Live to the glory of God. Not the glory of pleasure. Not the glory of self. Live to the glory of God. Be meek and kind in your responses. Not violent or ill-tempered or inconsiderate. We live in a very inconsiderate world. While they scream, be tolerant, they're not very tolerant. Be meek. That means power under control. Be self-controlled. Be God-controlled. And be kind. Don't respond in vengeance. Be loving and merciful, even to those who are not loving and merciful to you. Be like your Father who is what? In heaven, who causes it to rain on the just and on the unjust. Ephesians 4:31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just or even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let all bitterness. What's bitterness? What's anger that just kind of sits there and rots in your heart? And it affects your relationship with others, but you know who, what relationship it also affects? Your relationship with who? Your relationship with God. Give God your best. What that means, don't be satisfied with bitterness in here. That's not giving God your what? That's not giving God your best. If bitterness, if there's something stuck in your craw, and whenever you see that person, you well up in anger. Okay? That's bitterness. Let all bitterness and wrath, you know, temperament, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking, mean. Insults, gossip that is intended to hurt somebody else, whoever the object of the gossip is. Let all of that be put away from you with all malice, with all hatred. Doesn't have a place. And instead, be ye kind one to another. How do you give God your best? By putting away these works of the flesh, these attitudes of the flesh, asking God to help you get victory over them so that you might be kind, so that you might learn to be forgiving and merciful, even as God for Christ's sake hath what? Hath forgiven you. If you are a child of God, your sins have been what? Forgiven. And if you are not a child of God, they can be forgiven today. No one has hurt you as bad as humanity treated the very Son of God when He was on this earth. No one has failed you to the extent that humanity has failed their Creator and God. And yet God sent His only begotten Son. He demonstrated, commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were sinners, He did what? He died for us. And He has forgiven us all of our what? All of our sins. Can you not forgive others? Can you not let it go? Can you not show them the mercy and kindness that God has showed you? Let us be more like Christ. Let's give Him our what? Best. Let's forgive the unforgivable. Let's ask for His grace and help, and do our best to be sober and righteous and pure in our heart and in our life, to be more like our Savior, Jesus Christ, this year. Maybe there's somewhere in the mix of all that something that you need to take inventory of, something that can change, needs to change. Well, God will help you change it if you'll confess it. And if you're here today and you've yet to accept Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, He welcomes you today with open arms. He loves you. He'll forgive you and save your soul if you'll come. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for giving Your best for us. And as we look into this new year, Lord, I pray that You would help us to give You our best. And Lord, as we give ourselves over to You, Lord, You'll do things in our life that we could never even have imagined. Lord, if we'll seek first the kingdom of God and Your righteousness, all these other things, they'll be added to us. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to deal with ourselves honestly. And Lord, if there's an area in which we're just not giving You our best, Lord, that we wouldn't be satisfied with anything less this year. And that we keep trying. Lord, if we fail, we'll confess it. And Lord, You'll help us. And Lord, just help us to see that You do deserve our best. And Lord, grant us the power and the wisdom and the humility to do it by Your grace. And Lord, if there's one here today that has not accepted Christ as Savior, pray as we give this hymn of invitation, they come and trust You today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.